oddly weird in this room because your plumeria's gone.
Oh, yeah. It's been so weird since I took him outside.
It feels empty in here.
And that's why I'm able to sit here.
Were you like, why haven't I always been sitting here?
There's so much room over here. Why?
I mean, I was thinking about moving that chair over there or moving that chair into a different position. And then mm-hmm. the dog has her room right there. So I was like, I haven't made any decisions yet because I've been busy.
Sure.
But yeah. Brandon set up my greenhouse frame and attached it to the ground. Mm-hmm. There's anchored little, it. Yeah, it's anchored.
There you go.
So it don't blow away. And I was like, I'm going to put all my full sun plants in here and start acclimating them now, because as long as it doesn't go below like 45, I do not care how cold it gets. They'll be fine.
You can deal.
They're pretty hardy. Yeah. And then they're eventually going to be in full sun. So the sooner I start them now, the sooner I can get other stuff out in the greenhouse. So I threw them out there, put the shade cloth over it. I didn't actually bother putting the tarp on the greenhouse yet. And that's just what I'm going to do for this week. And then next week I'll swap out my shade cloths with a lesser one. And Mackie, it was really great. I forgot which shade cloth was what. And I bought them on Work's Amazon account. So I can't go back and look it up anymore. And so I was like, ah, shit. How am I going to know which of these two it is? I know it's not the orange one, but which one is it? So I pulled out my par meter. And I hung up my shade cloths and I took measurements. And I was like, this one lets in the least amount of light. This is the one I'm going with.
This is 70.
Yep. So handy.
I literally just took my pack of podiums and some of my tree aloes and threw them outside.
Full sun?
Full sun. My aloe is not happy.
You're just one aloe or
just
all
the
your
one,
aloe?
Just the one.
The one that you didn't treat with systemics.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm not quite there yet throwing stuff outside.
Oh, this stuff's all hardy down to like 25 degrees and they're like in desperate need of water. And I was like, I'm too lazy and it's about to rain.
It's raining, yeah. See, I have been doing that where it's like, it's raining, throw a bunch of shit outside.
Mackie's throwing the really cold hardy stuff out there. Caitlin's like, I've had these bitches out in 45 degree temps. I don't care. I just want everything outside now so I can just water it with a hose.
Well, with our new neighbor situation, I'm not trusting of their kids yet, and I'm about to be gone for a week, and I don't want my stuff out there.
Sure. Oh, for sure. I really wish nobody knew where I lived so I could put my elbow and my Tycon outside, because that would be amazing. But everyone has my address from selling so many plants that if they just feel like coming over and shopping in my greenhouse, which is not allowed, guys. I am not advocating you come shopping in my greenhouse when I'm not home.
See, people can do that to me and feel free to, but we got video cameras everywhere.
And we also have video cameras everywhere. So definitely don't come, because I don't want to have to prosecute you for stealing all my plants.
Prosecute. We made up a new word.
I don't want to make up a new word. I want to use the old word. I just said it funny.
Yeah.
We'll see if I actually said it funny when I go back and listen to this episode. You're just listening wrong. Oh boy. Well, guys, hey, welcome to Rough Around the Hedges. I'm Kaylin.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Mackie.
And today we are going to be talking about tissue culture 101. So just kind of the basic overview. We're not going to tell you how to do it. Well, we might
go into a little bit of that.
We're not going to go in detail, but you know.
Mostly just talking like the theory behind it and how it all works.
For
sure. How it started.
Yeah. So I'm sure you guys have all heard about tissue culture plants. I'm sure a lot of your collections started off as tissue cultures.
Whether you know it or not.
Yep. It's a really great economical way to produce plants in mass. And it's, cheap. Is it cheap? Is it affordable?
Kinda.
Whatever.
But I mean,
I'm just looking for words here at this point. Yeah.
Some people do it on the cheap. I probably would too. But even then, the cheap for tissue culture is probably not cheap for everybody.
Sure.
Yeah. Everyone has got different definitions.
It's more about efficiency.
Yeah.
So cool. Mackie. What is tissue culture?
Tissue culture is basically using science to multiply plants. You basically take the growth tip or a growth point where there's going to be growth, and you put it in a nutrient gel.
So like a node?
Yeah, like a node or a meristem or anything like that. And then you basically bathe it in hormones. You just switch out the hormones in the gel depending on what you want it to do. And what stage you're at, and you multiply plants.
How did you describe this just 5 minutes ago when I was laughing about it? Was it bathing in food?
Mm. Hormones?
No. You said something about the tissue cultures are just bathing in food, and then I said I wanted to bathe in food.
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
And then you'd probably judge me just a little bit for Thinking like a weirdo?
No.
Mackie embraces my weird.
So you have to have a node?
Node or...
But like a begonia, could you just have a leaf?
Yeah, anything that's going to have the plant equivalent of stem cells in it that can be differentiated between different types of tissue. Any part of the plant that's going to grow a new plant you can use.
Gotcha.
So like, I know African violet TC people will use chunks of leaves. Mm-hmm. Other people will use like chunks of the crown. It's basically wherever the cell activity is on the plant.
Gotcha. I guess that's where I had a misunderstanding then, because I thought, to me, my brain says tissue culture means any tissue you can then produce a plant from. So some plants you can do it from leaves. I guess my brain thought all plants is how the science is working.
I'm not too sure about that. I wouldn't doubt if you could, because mm-hmm. I know that right now people are figuring out how to make synthetic seeds.
Sure.
That are like alive, and that's really cool. So I wouldn't doubt if there was something you could do. If you can get the plant cells to revert to a point where they could differentiate, it would probably work. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know that process in depth or if it exists yet.
Gotcha. So how did tissue culture start?
Back in, I think it was the 60s or 70s, some people got together and they're basically like, hey, I wonder if we could artificially do this.
Yeah.
Without having to like go through all the processes we have to go through, make it more efficient. And they mm-hmm. just figured out what hormones to use, and they had a lot of trial and error. I think it was used mostly for like food crops at the time.
Oh, sure.
And since then it's been kind of put into production for basically any kind of plant material. And I think it was like the late 70s, early 80s that they started experimenting on houseplants. And basically if you're shopping anywhere like Home Depot, Lowe's, or the big box stores, and even a lot of like specialty plant stores, a lot of, if not all of their stuff comes from tissue culture.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only way you're going to get plants en masse nowadays.
Yeah.
Within, a time frame.
Well, I'm to like sell them for the, I'm going to put in quotes, cheap prices they sell them for.
The budget, yeah.
Because like if you guys ever notice people selling plants, they'll be like seed or from seed or from cutting, like people are starting to differentiate how they multiply their plants because some people are picky about the tissue culture now. Mm-hmm.
Now you mean like in the last like 4 years?
Yeah, the attitude the attitude towards tissue culture is
weird.
Yeah,
because
it's been such a good thing in the past.
Yeah,
and then all of a sudden,
what happened was a lot of plant breeders kind of got into the game of wanting to have the unique plant. And what happens is they get the unique plant, they sell cuttings, they propagate it, and then someone puts it into tissue culture and basically undercuts them.
Right.
So what started happening was someone started saying like, oh, whenever you do this kind of stuff, it mutates the plant. Mm-hmm. And like, that is true. It can happen. I think it's called like a somatic cell mutation or something like that. But basically there's less than a 1% chance of it mutating. And mm-hmm. that's kind of how we got Tycons, was through that process.
Right.
And so a lot of people argue that, yeah, tissue cultures great for making things en masse, but you don't get genetic individuality. And if you do, it's not a guarantee that it's the same genetics in the new plant as was in the previous like parent plant.
Right.
So like people, like the general attitude is if we can't guarantee it 100%, then it's not a true clone.
Yeah.
And people are wanting clones, like cuttings from the plant.
Sure. And I guess when, in future parts, if we continue talking about this, that's where we had issues is, we didn't realize, we thought we were getting caramel marbles, but then realizing that the variegation isn't guaranteed. I mean, variegation's not guaranteed anywhere, right?
Yeah.
That's number one.
For context, everybody, our little plant group did a local order with like 8 people, and we got 4 different plants. And so we all acclimated a number of tissue cultures on our own. Mm-hmm. Not all of them lived.
Well, yeah, the caramel marble ones, they were from a caramel marble plant, but it was specified that they were reverted. But whenever you tissue culture like that, there's always a chance that the variegation will come back.
And yeah,
for the price point at the time, $80, it was like, $80 to $100 for that flask.
Yeah,
for like 10 plants in it.
So we split them up, I think.
Versus
it was like 6, 7, 12 bucks each.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I think caramel marbles at the time were like multiple thousands of dollars.
Right.
So it's like, why not just play and like learn a new process?
Try it. Yeah. And
I was like, I want a Pluto anyway. So yeah.
Spoiler alert, none of them variegated. You think yours did?
No, mine didn't variegate, but it's got really cool.
It's got some
spots
weird
on it before it hardens off.
Yeah.
I was going to say mine got a streak of variegation on it. Kaylin, you remember that? And we started doing juju juice. But then the next like four leaves it put out were just solid Pluto leaves, and it didn't come through again.
Yeah. So I guess going back to like the weird relationship, I guess, or just, I don't know. Like, I feel like the plant community, it's, for me, it's been back and forth. Spicy's being silly. It's been back and forth. Like, sometimes people want TC plants, and then another times they're like, absolutely not. Don't offer me a TC plant. It's just weird.
That attitude, I think, comes from a lot of like plant breeders wanting to get these plants cheap and wanting them to be exact what they want. And since, like I said, there's not that 100% chance of it being the same genetics, they're like, oh, that's too big of a risk. We don't want to use that because we don't know.
Right.
But in plant breeding, there's a lot of we don't know. So I don't really see the point in that.
Right. And I guess for something like, I don't know, I'm failing to think of an example, but say Pluto's, like, why would it matter if you have a TC Pluto or not?
Status.
That's all it is.
Yeah, it's kind of almost like a made up thing where if you decide personally that you feel like TCs are inferior and you want something that is superior, you want to go for a cutting versus a TC.
Yeah, but ultimately, if you don't have like a registration paper,
how would you know?
There's no way to know.
I mean, my best, like an example of this is like the Spirit of Sancti.
Yeah.
Everyone is spending $10,000 to $25,000 a plant. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they're showing up now for like $30 to $50, depending like sales and whatnot, because they're tissue cultured.
Yeah.
It's more of like a status thing. Like, I got that and I paid money for it, so I'm better than you.
Right.
The TC attitude came out roughly when the rare plant became a thing.
Right.
And there's no such thing as a really rare plant in my mind. It's just, it's either accessible or not.
Yes.
Uncommon is a better term for it.
No, I don't like to
you
rank.
Don't like that either?
I don't like to rank by commonality. I rank by accessibility. Because that's all it is. It's because like they can take
and
these.
And with a touch of trendiness too.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff that's hard to get, but no one wants it either. So it's really rare, quote unquote.
Yeah, like true pothos.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people have it. A lot of people want it. And it's a rather difficult plant to actually grow.
Right. Is there anything you can't TC?
No, I don't think, not that I'm aware of.
Could you TC me?
Yes, it's called cloning, Kaylin.
Yeah, and it's frowned upon.
frowned upon. Not accepted.
No, I mean, like, I know there are people, there are labs doing Haworthia, so I know succulents can be tissue culture. I know they tissue culture aloes en masse in China, because that's where I'm starting to look and see a lot of the stuff coming up. Yeah, basically, if you can get a growth point of a plant, you can probably tissue culture it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if there's anything that like pothos, does it make sense to tissue culture? Not when how quickly and how.
Depends on your intentions. Sure. If you're trying to just get plants to sell, probably not. You're better off just chopping it up. Unless it's a slower growing like variegated pothos, you might be better off tissue culturing it. But if you're going to. If you're like looking for the next hot mutation, tissue culture is where it's going to be at.
Sure.
That's like I said, that's how they did the Tycons, is it popped up in TC and then they cloned it on and realized it was pretty stable.
Yeah. Unless it's your plant.
Yeah. I was going to say, I refer to Tycons as pretty stable.
Yeah.
I have a lot of people say they don't revert or they can't. I have a plant that begs to differ. It's challenging that hard right now.
You guys were all looking at my giant Tycon in my living room as we're talking about these.
That has gone past baby size leaves, and that's like a full-on four-year-old.
I was going to say, that's a toddler curled up.
Yeah. My newest Tycon leaf is 31 inches long from the tallest point to the lowest point.
Yeah, that's nuts. It's almost tall enough to ride rides at Disney World.
What is that, 36 inches?
I don't know what the first one. I mean, there's some that have no height limit, but I'm trying to think. I think like Tower of Terror is 44 inches.
Well, hey, that's leaf size, so that only that could ride.
The plant
itself could ride a ride at Disney World.
The plant can go on Mount Everest, yeah.
Yeah, and looking at it, it's already getting its tertiary fenestrations. Yeah. That's impressive.
So the tertiary, is that the small dots on the outside or the small dots on the inside?
Inside.
Yeah, the first slits, I call those the first ones or the primary. The secondary ones are the second ones to pop up. And then the more mature leaves, when they start getting the third holes.
We're talking about the
actual fenestrations.
Okay, yeah.
Or is it?
So wait, those are the second or the third?
You've got third. Tertiary is three.
So, okay, hold on. Where's the first? The first one is the,
first
the
one
regular.
Is the split, yeah. And
the
then
split
the.
Where? The regular, the typical Monstera split?
Correct me if I'm wrong. I think we've gotten some terms mixed.
first.
So that's a fenestration, but the holes are called penne, aren't they?
I have no idea. I've always referred to them as fenestrations because they're holes in the leaves.
Yeah.
Mackie, you're in my way. I can't see. Can you scoot?
Yeah. This is what I call the first ones. Sure, sure. These would be the second ones, and these would be the third ones.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not talking about the split on the leg on the bottom.
Oh, I see.
See how that one?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay, okay.
That would rank as like first one.
That's just a cool thing.
How many? Okay, I've looked up pictures. I'm not going to ask how many different levels of fenestrations we get.
Oh, there's
we
some.
We just get lots of holes.
Monsters, yeah.
At a certain point, I can't even keep track on like the really old plants you see in conservatories. Mm-hmm.
I will say I've never seen it on a Tycon, but on some of the Monsteras, they get crazy.
Yeah, the little holes are cool.
Yeah.
Like Swiss cheese.
That's not the Swiss cheese.
What's Swiss cheese doesn't have holes?
No, but we talked all about how there's technically two Swiss cheese plants and which ones we would pick as the actual Swiss cheese, and that's Addisonii.
See, to me, the Addisonii has always been, like, whenever I first got into the hobby, those were called monkey masks, and I was like,
what?
Yeah.
I don't like that we call anything a Swiss cheese plant, because then we start calling everything a Swiss cheese plant. So just get rid of it.
You're just
throw it in the garbage.
I just want cheese now.
You want some? I have some. You like some cheese. Get you some cheese.
Okay, so scientists in the 70s/80s decided, sorry, 60s/70s, we're going to try and make plants super quick, super fast.
Yeah, it was supposed to solve the problem of world hunger or something like that.
Oh, sure.
And all it did was give us the Cavendish banana, pretty much. And we all see how well that's going right now. Well, the whole process is pretty, it seems complicated, but once you like understand like the basics and what they're trying to do, it's basically you get your growth point, mm-hmm. you sterilize it, you clean it, and you can actually get down to the virus-free tissue in a lot of the plants that have viruses in them. And mm-hmm. that's a lot of how they clone these highly susceptible plants to like grow them on without getting the virus immediately. Mm-hmm. Is they'll do that. And then once you get it all sanitized, like this whole process has to be like super clean. Mm-hmm. You basically put them in a agar gel, which is plant food. And then in that gel that you've prepared, you've put hormones based on what you're trying to do. There's the hormone to create calluses, which is, I think, the first step. Mm-hmm. And then from the calluses, use different hormone and it gives you shoot growth. And then the third final step is to initiate root growth and then deflask.
Gotcha.
So these are, it's all, you know, you do the one, then you wait, then you do the other step, then you wait.
Yeah. So like every time you switch a step, you're basically pulling the plant out of culture and putting it back into a new culture with new hormones.
So you're going to have to clean it off and whatnot.
Yeah.
So if you go on the interwebs and you find a bag, flask, if you will, of TCs, have they gone through all those steps?
Yes. Okay. They're usually in their last root initiation phase and they've already got roots growing.
Gotcha.
If they don't have roots growing, they've usually have the hormones in there to start.
Mm-hmm. And the agar gel, like what you said is plant food, like, but what is it?
Agar.
I don't know what that is. It's like tartar.
No, agar is like the gel. I don't know.
Okay,
it's just
Google.
I don't know how to explain it. It's just something that we've always used in like biology classes and stuff like that. Like in petri dishes that you grow bacteria on, you're growing that on agar.
Okay. Oof. Okay, I'm going to try and say words. Agar or agar is a jelly-like substance consisting of polysaccharides mm-hmm. obtained from the cell walls of some species of red algae, primarily from Ogonori and Tengusa. Okay, cool.
Funny thing is that's also like a vegan jello.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It kind of just looks like
literally
tofu.
What they used to use back whenever vegetarianism first became a thing.
Yeah,
because like you can't be vegan and give up jello.
Exactly.
You just can't.
It's jello is usually made from pig feet.
Yep.
Protein in pig's feet.
Fun times, everybody.
Great.
You also
thanks
get
for that.
You also get that in Starburst, which is why they're not kosher.
I do love Starburst.
I know that because of Judy.
Only the orange and red ones.
I like the pink and orange or pink and red ones. Mm-hmm. I would rather not eat the orange and yellow ones.
Wow. I only like the red and purple Skittles.
I don't like the purple at all.
One
I
of
just
the
like
sweetest
the red
things
one.
Someone
red
has
and
ever-
green.
One of the sweetest things someone's ever done for me is they've gone through a whole Skittle bag and gave me they made me another bag of just red and purple.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That derailed real quick. Guys, head over to the Discord and let us know what your Skittle color preference is, as well as Starburst. Actually,
if it's yellow, I don't trust you.
I prefer the purple bag of Skittles because I will eat all of them.
Oh,
the wild berry.
Yes. Mm-mm. I'm just an OG Skittle person.
Nah, it's wild berry all the way for me. Mackie, what about you?
I don't really go for that stuff. I go for more like For me, it's chocolate and caramel. Mm.
Are my weaknesses. Also both good.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just want purple Skittles.
I literally just got my braces off like a week ago. And the first thing I did was I went to the gas station, bought every candy I couldn't have. And then last night I had popcorn for the first time.
The Nerds clusters. Favorite.
Christine brought me some. Well, you brought me some of those. You shared some with me and I agree. They're delicious.
I'm a little weird.
I'm not really like into Nerds, but putting them on like a squishy Laffy Taffy type thing. I'm all in, man.
I'm a little gun shy with those because I had an experience with some edible Nerds.
Oh, sure.
Oh, gosh.
It was one of those. Didn't know it was an edible.
In a Nerd?
Yeah, they THC Nerd ropes are a thing.
Sure. Sure.
Oh. And they started doing the clusters. And
that's a very niche market. I could see that.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
I was never super big into Nerds rope because they had purple Nerds on them. And I didn't want to sit and pick them all off.
That is one hell of an aversion for you.
I know. Did I tell you that when I was in Disney World, I almost bought you, because I went to the M&M store and I don't know why. I was like, Kaylin would like this. They had like pre-made assorted. You get M&Ms of any color. Mm-hmm. They had like a whole wall of them, but they had some pre-made ones and they had the pink ones. It was like pink and white and a red, but then there was purple in them. And I was like, I can't buy it.
Kaylin won't eat the purple ones.
I can't buy it. It's funny.
You can, on the M&M's website, customize M&M's and then order them.
You can put your face on it.
Yes, I did that with Brandon once. I still have the screenshots. I took a photo of him. It was funny because he got his forehead split open at work. So he had like...
So you took a picture to put him
on. No, it was like the picture he sent me or something. But that was the picture I used. And then I made it super emo.
Oh.
So it's emo Brandon on a pink Skittle. And then I don't know what I put on the back, but it was probably something inappropriate. And I never bought them or anything because they're overpriced. Yeah. And what the hell am I going to do with 1,000 pink Skittles with Brandon or pink M&Ms with Brandon's face on them? But when I learned you could do it, I absolutely practiced.
I'm not going to make the comment I'm thinking. So anyway.
Okay, so you got your TC and your agar agar. You've gone through callus, shoot, all that phase. Sorry, what was the last one?
Rooting.
Rooting. And so that's when they are becoming plants?
Yeah, that's usually about the time that people will deflask them.
Okay. Yeah. And this whole time they're sitting in like a container.
Sealed up.
You don't even want to like breathe on them.
Yeah. It has to be, like I said, completely sterile because fungus and bacteria love agar.
Sure. And once that happens, you're
screwed. The culture is basically, you can rescue the culture if it's not too far gone, sure. But most of the time people will just toss it because it's too much work.
Sure.
Because you got to re-sterilize and recut. But the cool thing about that is once you initiate callus growth in them, mm-hmm. you can cut the chunk up further mm-hmm. and subculture into more calluses. And you can just keep that going. And then you can just, what you've already calloused over, you can then put into production to shoot and root.
Nice. How long is this process?
Depends on the plant, but a lot quicker for volume, I guess. So like in the time it would take to get 1,000 cuttings through cuttings, it would be a very long time from if you start with one plant.
Sure.
Whereas if you start with tissue culture, you can get 1,000 plants in like probably 6 months.
Not bad. And then so there's no like set time frame for everything. You are basically checking process.
Yeah. It's like I said, the other nice thing about tissue culture is you can kind of keep plant tissue libraries.
Sure.
So like in the cannabis world right now, people will TC a strain and keep it in callus and they'll just store it.
People are TCing cannabis?
Oh, yeah.
That I didn't know.
It's starting to hit the market real hard because when you grow from seed, you get different phenotypical expressions. And with tissue culture, that doesn't happen.
Interesting.
That's a way for the big producers to produce a lot of cannabis really quickly.
Are they able to sell those plants, though, legally?
Yes.
And then are all tissue cultured plants going to have the same... I suppose genetic makeup. So like that's another way to guarantee like female plants.
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. So if you tissue culture a female plant, it's never going to be male. It might stress and produce pollen, but like, no, you're going to get females.
Cool.
So that's a perk of tissue culture.
Yeah.
Another perk is you can like right now in the banana world, the Cavendish banana is being hit hard by some Panama fungus, I think is what they're calling it. But basically, it wipes out a plant, the entire farms, and they'll just tissue culture more because they can take the infected stuff and reverse the infection and tissue culture on, and it's just...
What? They reverse the infection?
Science!
Is there a way to, I guess, cryo-freeze them, too? Like, can you have...
I don't think so. Okay. I know some plants, like whenever they tissue culture apples, they do like put them in fridge settings
to slow it down
and they can hold them like basically in stasis in a fridge for months at a time.
Wow.
There are some plants you can do that with.
Crazy.
But like I know like Mandula mutants, those come from TC. That's what's being used to produce all of them, is they just tissue culture them on because that's the best way to get that mutation to kind of stabilize as best you can.
Sure.
But I know they're doing a lot of work on the, I hesitate to call them pothos because we just mentioned the real pothos, but
epiprenum.
Yeah, epiprenums. They're doing a lot of that work in Japan right now.
They just keep coming out with new kinds all over the place.
Yeah, like Tizuno. I think the dude's name is Tizuno. He's coming up with phenomenal different mutants, and they're
I haven't been paying attention to the world.
I haven't been after expensive pothos lately.
For the longest time, yeah, there was like random stuff coming up, like lemon lime and what's the other one?
Wasn't it lemon meringue? Global green.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that have been in production probably for 3-4 years.
Sure.
But like the new stuff coming out, it's still expensive and hard to get your hands on because you have to import it from Japan. I know one person here in the States is working on it. Lar from Plants and Jars on YouTube. She's a huge fan of him and she's always getting his stuff and trying to tissue culture it.
Yeah. And I could see, I mean, another benefit of tissue culture is space, right? Like,
yeah, because
you could have thousands of plants
in a tiny
flask than you.
In like half of an acre versus, you know, if you're going to do 1,000 actual cuttings of something, well, one, you have to have a mother plant that supports all of that. And then two.
Yeah, because like, especially with cannabis, with people doing strains, they can have 20 strains in like one shelf versus having to have 20 full plants for cuttings.
Yeah.
Is when we talk about strains in cannabis, is that just variety?
They're trying to switch to variety.
Oh, okay.
The term variety.
Wording.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Technically, if you want to get really technical, it's a chemo something. Chemovar.
Chemovar, yeah.
Because it's a chemical expression.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Say you've been tissue culturing for 20 years. Will you have 100% success rate?
No.
Okay.
There's always going to be failures. There's always contamination.
Sure.
There are plenty of failure points.
Are you sitting at like a 95% or is it more like 80?
It'd probably be in the 90s if you're getting really good at it. And if you've got all the equipment, like the flow hoods and stuff like that, like a lot of the flaws are in contamination and not having like perfect sterilization.
Sure. But once you get those practices down, you're good to go.
Yeah.
Cool. So we're ready to deflask. What do we do?
The process I use is I literally just pull them out of the flask, wash the gel off, and then I soak them in an antifungal for like 5 minutes. I like to use the copper kind just because.
Just like a good old copper fungicide?
Good old copper fungicide. And then I usually set them up in moss in a closed container at 100% humidity and I acclimate them up to higher light. And once they start growing, I start acclimating down.
Yeah. And at that point, you're basically TC or not TC. You basically have like seedlings.
Yeah. It's basically the same acclimation process for like seedlings pretty much.
Tom, you're going to have to let us know if your Plutos are still in there.
Rough, man. Rough.
And they're moss and baggies.
Oh, boy.
I think a couple months ago they still were.
Takeout container. There's no baggie.
Oh, okay.
Because I had them for a bit.
I did takeout container and then went baggy and then did like the slow open method.
Nice.
I kept mine in the deli cups. I put them in and I just poked more and more holes in them. And then I just took the lid off and I was done.
That's a good way to do it. They were starting to grow too much for me.
Yeah. I killed mine.
Yeah, because you immediately potted them up. I'm like, don't do that.
I didn't immediately do it.
You did.
It was not immediate. It was not two days.
It was maybe like a week.
It was really fast.
I told you it was going to need a couple months, and you're like, I'm just going to pot them up. I'm like, that was a mistake.
Caleb was like, they have roots. Put them in the soil.
I was reading some information and I got freaked out, and I was like, oh no, they have to go now. And then I just fucked it up. Stupid.
That's why with acclimation, I always try to take longer rather than speed it up.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom's got the right attitude. Just might be a bit extreme.
His just are a lot smaller than ours still, though, because he keeps them in the tank container.
Yeah, Christine, mine just put on a new leaf, my Pluto.
Nice.
Mine just went on a field trip to the compost pile.
Is that a field trip if it's permanent?
It's still kind of alive. If it starts to grow, I might pull it out and keep it.
I was going to say, it's that time of year where if you just throw stuff away, it might continue growing in your
onions growing in our compost.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be the first time I pulled a plant out of the compost pile. I mean, like, hell yeah.
We've grown pumpkins out of the compost 2 years in a row, and they produce better pumpkins than the shit in the garden.
Oh, nice.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's nutrients.
Oh, we need a
pumpkins
fertilizer.
Pumpkins are heavy feeders.
That's another thing. When you see Brandon before you go, tell him he needs to fertilize his garden.
Oh. Okay.
Because I don't think he did that last year. I went and bought goddamn fertilizer for him. And did he use it?
Nah.
No.
See, the only reason our garden gets fertilized, I showed Noah how to do it, gave him the stuff, showed him where I put it, and I still had to do it every week.
This is off topic, but kind of on topic for the fertilizer thing. You know how I'm like, oh yes, I fertilize my plants with pH balance water every time I water them.
Are you lying?
Only true for the main floor. The upstairs go to the tub and they get shower water, and the downstairs get utility sink water.
Yeah.
Because I can't be bothered to unscrew the lid of the fertilizer that is down there on the sink. So I have a squirt bottle I'm saving from some hair gel.
Oh, nice.
I'm gonna put the fertilizer in the bottle and then just go squirt, squirt. Mm-hmm. So it'll be super easy.
I want to get the Eve has them. They're special like squirt bottles. That
I don't
like,
think they're special. I think they're just squirt bottles.
Well, they say that they put out an ounce every time, so that way you have a better track of what you're doing.
So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna take my pipette and I'm gonna take my squirt bottle and I'm gonna go pump, pump, and then I'm gonna see how much the pipette sucks up, and then I'll figure out how many pumps I need for how many pipettes I give.
Here's an easier way to do that if you're gonna insist on doing that.
What do you mean? No. Insist on doing that.
If you're gonna insist on trying that, what I would say is just get something to spray that's like solid and non-porous, weigh it, spray it, weigh it again, and then weigh an ounce of water.
It's not a spray bottle, it's a pump.
Still, then pump it into a little shot glass.
I was going to say what I did. I have a shot glass that has measurement markings on it.
I do too. It's for my pesticides.
Yeah. Use that. Mm.
Fine.
Just squirt until you have your teaspoon or whatever it is.
That's fair.
Love the little science project, but there's an easier approach.
You just like pipettes.
I bought a bunch because I needed them. I don't remember where I put them.
Didn't you buy like a 200 pack or something?
I bought whatever the smallest multi-pack was on Amazon because like Eco Garden Supply was always out. And I was like, I gotta need my fucking goddamn pipettes. Why don't you get more? So I bought some on like eBay. I can't find the pack. I don't know where the pack is.
I bought a 300 pack figuring, you know, me and Noah use a lot.
Oh, did I give you some?
No, you asked if I wanted some and I don't think I ever got them.
Did you get some? Did you want some?
Not anymore.
I bought a 300.
Does anyone need pipettes?
Yeah, I bought a 300 pack, and then Noah bought a 300 pack at the same time, and we're like, oh, well, so we have more pipettes than we know what to do with at this point.
Yeah, same. We could do pipette arts and crafts.
I could maybe take a couple for my Juju. My Juju one's gotten pretty ugly.
I think, ask me if they're on the shelf where my pots are in the basement.
Are they on the shelf with your pots?
I have to go look.
Okay.
I meant after the podcast, so then I could go look.
I do need to go shopping on your nursery
pots. Oh, you need pots today, too?
Yeah.
Perfect. Do you guys want some orange coleus? Or did you not want any?
Coleus?
Were you going to take some?
I've decided against it.
Halloween colored pots.
I know, but do I want Halloween colors all summer is the question.
Fuck yes.
No, I know.
I have bats on my wall. It's always Halloween. I left my Halloween painting up. It's now a fixture on my stairs. I love Halloween.
But no, the other nice thing about tissue culture, getting back on topic here.
Whatever, we have ADHD.
The other nice thing is the energy requirements for TC are kind of low. Like, you know,
like
with
personal, like as a person.
Yeah. In general, they require less light to survive than an actual plant. So like a lot of people will have them like dim lights. They're hardly using any energy
while they're doing their thing.
Once they're plants. Yeah.
You still need to put your plants in light, people.
Yes. But like if it's just like calluses,
you can't go
buy
a TC plant and then be like, it doesn't need light.
Tissue culture plants are special because they don't need light. That's a lie.
I will say from my experience, tissue cultures, when they're still in culture in the gel, they can last in lower light because they've got the food.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what steps next. I mean, once you've got stuff.
We've acclimated it and we can now pot it up and make it a plant.
Now you can use your plant to tissue culture. Is that
tissue culture?
Okay. I mean, I'm assuming, yeah.
You're going to create a mutant.
At what point? Yeah, does it not become okay?
It starts becoming alive.
I mean,
incest is good for one generation, but for plants.
But this isn't technically incest.
I know.
This would be more like, I don't know, like chopping a chunk of something off and it growing into a new you.
Yeah.
Like if I chopped off my hand.
Yeah.
And you propagated it into a new Kalen.
What's that called in worms when they can?
Regeneration?
Nope, maybe.
Asexual reproduction.
That's different.
Is it also the starfish?
Yeah. Google.
Yep. I'm going to look it up.
I don't know. Because I don't know. I guess yes, but no. I guess it'd be more so if you kept going back to that original mother plant.
It is regeneration.
Regeneration. Mm-hmm. Okay. But you're taking so little off of it. It's not, you're not super hurting it, quote unquote. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, okay, we're staring at Kaylin's Tychon that's got massive aerial roots. Are we taking a chunk of the aerial root or what are we? Do we want to take some of the actual stem too?
You want the actual stem with the node on it.
Gotcha.
You don't need, because if you like, if you were to take that Tychon and cut it and just get the chunk with the leaf and a couple roots, the leaf is going to be cut off. The roots are going to be cut off and it's going to be basically washed to hell. And then you're going to chop it up even more to get to the cleaner tissue. And then you're going to culture that.
And then, but do you get, do you only get one plant per node?
You get one callus per node, and a callus can be turned into thousands of plants very easily.
How, though?
Whenever, basically the callus growth is you're producing undifferentiated cells. So it's basically a clump of stem cells.
Okay.
And then from there, you activate the shoots with the other, I think it's an auxin.
Sure.
And that will... It'll so send up dozens
that we're talking about. Okay.
And then it'll send up dozens of shoots and you can cut those off and further subculture them into more flasks. And you can just keep going like that. Wow. Eventually you might hit a point where some plants do kind of tire out.
Yeah.
But I think it varies plant to plant.
So there's not trying to make any like get rich quick schemes, but there's definitely something to be had by only doing that part over and over and over again, by just selling the flasks of like 10 or 12. 20 of them at a time. Because that's one, taking up less space, two, taking up less energy, three.
Yeah. It's great, like I said, for like high volume production. Yeah. But if you're just trying to copy a plant a couple of times, tissue culture is not going to be the way you want to go.
Yeah. I see it as a, I don't know.
It's a, like, let's say, like what happened with Tychon. So I think they were just, I don't know what specific cultivar they were tissue culturing it, but they popped up and they just took that, subdivided it, and kept copying it and copying it. And they've all stayed pretty true to the Tychon.
Yeah.
Mackie, is that leaf in your way?
No, I'm just keep trying to look at the Tychon because...
Oh, through the... Mackie keeps lifting up my Regal Shield leaf, and I'm like, if it's in your way, we can move it.
I'm used to floppy things in my face.
What? That is not podcast appropriate.
Chris. Sorry.
Wow. For once, it's not me.
Yeah. Cool. I think this was a fun introduction. I'm trying to think what else we want to touch on.
So, Mackie, touch on how clean you had to have everything when you deflasked our babies. Because Mackie did it for us instead of us all getting together and deflasking it. So I didn't get to see this happen. I was curious. Didn't get to see it happen.
Deflasking is a lot less sterile than the actual process because you're, like I said, I run it through the antifungal and then I put mine in sphagnum moss and then I just go and whatever's in there, usually as long as you got the agar washed off of it, bacteria and fungus aren't as big of a problem at that point.
Yeah, but at the beginning phases, are we talking like your stuff needs to be...
People autoclave. They autoclave their tools.
Wow.
There's a lot of open flame sterilization. Sure. They're using fume hoods to keep constant filtered air going over it. Yeah. And then their agar gel is usually done under pressure in pressure cookers.
Wow.
So they're completely sterile, like a lot of heat treatment.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. A lot of bleach sprays. A lot of glove wearing, like
sure.
Lab level sterility.
I'm clean, but I don't know that I'm that clean.
I mean, people are starting to tissue culture mushrooms now.
Well, you know, wait, okay.
Bunga.
Yeah, because the mycelium grows really well in the agar.
Sure.
So you can literally just grow the mycelium and take that, throw it into a substrate, and it'll grow mushrooms for you.
I'm curious where they thought or where they decided that there was a need for that, because like spores are such a... Like growing, you get thousands and thousands off of one mushroom.
Getting spores to establish to the mycelial phase can be difficult for some species and downright impossible in some situations. Like I know I think reishi mushrooms are one that they're starting to tissue culture out. They're a little more challenging to get to do that. So that if you tissue culture them and you skip that to get all together, it's a lot easier to split up mycelium than it is to get going from spore.
Gotcha. Wow.
Gotta love those mycelium.
You've
never loved a mycelium?
I've never tried mycelium.
Just love what they do for the planet.
Sure.
You know?
What was that, Kaylin?
That was my mycelium gang sign.
Kaylin gave love to for mushrooms.
Oh boy. Well, should we talk about our plant of the week?
Heck yeah.
I came prepared.
Wow.
And by came prepared, I mean 10 minutes before we started recording, I picked a plant of the week. Amazing, right? It's going to be my Alocasia dragon scale. I had a really big plant, and then I was like, this is too much. So I started over. I just took a corm and sprouted it, and I grew it. And so now I have like it's a 4-inch pot. Oh, wow. Got like 3 leaves. He just put out his 4th leaf, and it is beautiful. It's reminding me why I fucking love that plant.
I just put my dragon scale in an 8-inch pot.
Good for you. Taking after
it's
me.
It's got like 6 plants in there.
Yeah.
I pulled 4 corms out of it. But the thing is, this is why I need to go shopping in your basement. I didn't have a tall 8-inch pot. I had a shorter one than, I had it in a tall 6-inch, but I only had a shorter 8-inch.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of like, you're just going to hang out for a minute until I can find something else.
Mm-hmm.
That I need to do to not dry
totally
out so
addicted
fast.
To those tall pots.
Same.
I love a tall pot. Like if it's got a, you know, short root structure, I'll for sure put it in a short pot. But like those tall pots, they have everything going for them.
They're so nice.
I love them.
People don't listen to folks when they say tall pots mean your plants stay too wet too long. No, it's not true.
Absolutely not. If your plant's staying wet too long, you're not giving it enough light.
Yeah. Or your mix might be too.
I'm going to take this moment to just plug that you also should not be putting pebbles, rocks, or leca at the bottom of your pots when you do that, because that raises the perch water table. And essentially, you're welcoming more root rot if you're concerned about that than if you had just put the whole thing in soil.
Yeah.
I'm not going to explain it here because this is a tissue culture episode, but just Google perch water table. Or go back and listen to our watering episode and we'll explain it there.
When you said that you wouldn't talk about the perch water level in that episode.
Oh, I said I wouldn't do it.
You said you Google it. I'm not going to explain it to you.
Oh, dear. Well, hey, maybe we'll have to do a whole episode on the perched water table. Just be like, you guys, stop it.
My plant of the week is going to be my Monstera Albo that I just chopped up.
Nice.
So my plant of the week is technically a cutting.
Not a plant. Cutting of the week.
No. Yeah. So I took 2 cuts. The big one, I had 2 growth vines of a Monstera, and the one was much bigger, and like I would say the vine was maybe 1 inch in diameter.
Pretty chunky.
Yeah, chunky boy. I took
is mine that chunky.
Yours is, yeah, it's looking like it's getting there at the top.
1 inch though?
Maybe 3/4.
Okay, he's getting there.
So I took a top cut of 2 giant leaves of that, and then I took another one of the smaller stem. I was gonna put it in my cabinet last night, but it was too big.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, couldn't fit in my cabinet, so it's just hanging out in the house.
It had arrow roots, right?
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. It might just slow down a little bit.
Just give it lots of light.
Yeah.
So, Christine, when are you going to be releasing those to the public for $10?
Once my top cuts are happy, once I know. I got to take my insurances, right? So once I know
that's
going to be okay.
Well, your insurance is my plant. They're the same plant.
That's true. I guess I could just go for it.
Depends on how much you want that other plant out of your house.
Yeah.
For me, I'd be like, all right, you're gone.
Well, yeah, I am already feeling that itch of like something else could go there. Or
you are a good propagator. You'll be fine.
Yeah. So soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's mine.
Love that for you.
My plant of the week is last year I started some Siphostemma jutes, and they're starting to wake up from their first dormancy and they're looking pretty cool. They're a little caudiciform grape plant.
What kind of growth is it with that caudex? Because like I have a couple different caudex that grow differently. So tell me what it's like.
They basically, I don't know how to explain it because they're not like the Dioscorea.
Not like a Dioscorea, but is it like a?
It's more like a
Petiolaris where it's got a trunk.
Yeah, kind of more like a Petiolaris. Yeah.
Okay. I look back to where that plant is, but he's outside and he's gone. I'm gonna do false sun for him this year.
I saw one of those at the conservatory,
and
they had it in the tropical section, and I was like, no.
I treat it like a tropical.
I know, but it's too humid for it.
They like
the apartment they had it in.
Well, good thing he doesn't live in a tent at my house.
Exactly.
I know I probably mentioned on the last episode, but he is finally back to his glory.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Tons of
that's
leaves.
Awesome.
Huge. Love him.
Mine just dropped its winter leaf.
Winter leaf.
Hey, this
so
year.
So is he back to a stick?
This year it graced me with a winter leaf. I'm happy.
Mine graced me with the winter leaf once a month. I'm sorry.
So normal growth.
Yeah. I'm not commenting on that. Yeah. We've discussed your petty loris a lot.
We know your growth or your care and my care are not the same, and so we experience different things.
Yeah. I don't care for mine. I abuse mine. Thank you very much.
I care for Brandon. That's the name of my ficus petty loris.
Yeah. Cool.
It's the one plant I named, and I didn't. I only named it because Brandon bought it for me, and I thought it'd be hilarious. Mm. It is really funny. Make Brandon jokes to Brandon.
You talk to your plant?
No. Oh, I'm telling jokes about Brandon to Brandon. Wow, that one took me a second. Woo.
Cool. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in. Hope you learned something. Hope you had fun. Please tell us what your favorite color of Starburst is. Join our Discord and stay rough.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.